Hey, everybody, and welcome to Love About Town, a show where two brown nerds learn about dating, sex, and relationships in an attempt to be better. As always, you have me, your host, Kenise Mobley, and...
your boy, Rohan, everybody. We have the wonderful Allison Leiby, comedian extraordinaire. We talk about safely socializing during the pandemic, maintaining pandemic mental health gains, and ideal living in New York. And so once again, here's our guest for this week, Allison Leiby.
Oh, there's so many venues that I'm like, I hope this exists. I could look it up, but I won't. I'll look it up when things get back to normal. That's
it's
when,
like,
I'll see if it's still
Schrodinger's
alive.
Cat. I'm like, if I look it up, is it going to be closed?
Yes.
Like, is me looking up going to be what closes Littlefield? Like, I should just cross my fingers and wait until
Allison, I've literally had that thought where I was just like, don't look up Littlefield, because I love Littlefield so much. It's like my favorite place.
Me
and I'm
too.
Like, no, just don't.
Just don't look it up. If you don't know, it can't hurt you.
Yeah, I know. And like, and also, like, what would finding out that it closed, like, do to me? Like, there's no, like, I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, and like, also, like, it doesn't change my day to day until, like, you know, everyone is vaccinated and we've reached herd immunity, which could be 2022 for all we know. Like, there's nothing to gain from finding out the status of things. But then I'm like, or like, if they're like, will I find out, like, they're on their last legs, give money. And it's like, am I going to give money to something that's not going to survive? Like, it's just.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
it just puts more thoughts into, like, already more bad thoughts in your head than the ones that already exist about that institution that you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. I've been watching, I have to like pause when I watch each episode, pretend it's a city. Have you guys watched?
Of course.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's this Martin Scorsese like 7-part documentary on Netflix, and it's just like an interview with Fran Lebowitz. So it's just like kind of cuts through like different interviews and her, and more importantly for me, it's her walking through New York City.
When did they film this?
Like right before the pandemic.
I think.
Yeah.
I was like, if, because for it to seem like New York, they must have done this before. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I felt when I was watching. I'm like blanking on it. The John Wilson. How to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but like
yeah.
All that New York footage. I was like, this is definitely not recent.
No, but then that ends very nicely because it ends with like him being in the pandemic. So it's like, okay, like you get to see that, the evolution of that.
Yeah.
Whereas Pretend It's a City, from what I understand, it doesn't end like that.
No, it doesn't. It's just so like the glory of New York and what it used to be for seven episodes. And then you turn it off and you're like, well, time to go for my stupid walk and my stupid mask.
I remember it's like in the second episode, the first episode, she's just like walking through Times Square and talking about how miserable it is, because of course she's absolutely right. Yeah. It is miserable. But then I was like, oh, to walk in that Times Square again. Like, I hated it. And yet I'm like longing for that. Yeah.
I like want to be in Midtown. What?
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. Midtown sucks. Is there a, because this Fran Lebowitz is like in her 70s or 80s. Is there a young person who's like, this person represents some basic New York-ness? This is this is the person we've imbued with all the qualities of the city. They're what it represents now. Or like a Brooklyn person? I don't know. Just like someone who's like, you gotta ask me. You're doing a conversation about this. I'm your gal.
I feel like we'll only know who that is 30 years from now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we can't, like, we're still in, like, everybody, like, I read about and listen to and, like, watch Fran Lebowitz, and I'm like, that's the New York that, like, I always wished that I was living in.
Me too.
Like, I didn't move here till I was, you know, 22, and it was 2006. Like, you know, so, like, it was a different New York already from, like, the one that she wrote about in the 70s and 80s. So, like, now we're still living in whatever New York we're in. So like in 30 years when we're all nostalgic for this, like, oh, who was the voice of that generation and that, like, who was the spirit of New York? And I'll be like, I don't know, somebody that worked at Chase. Like,
yeah.
It's like crazy. Yeah. I hope that, like, moving forward, we like, there's no way to go back in time. And like everything will, New York, I think more than any other city, you like are nostalgic for old parts and not excited about the new parts of it.
For sure.
At like, that has a lot of like, social and cultural like ramifications, of course. And it's like, oh, you're not excited about a gentrifying nightmare that pushes people who have been there for decades out into places they can't like, yeah, of course not. But like, you know, it's, I hope it gets better. I hope that the pandemic actually fixes some problems instead of worsening them. I don't know. I'm not particularly like enthusiastic or optimistic about it, but my fingers are crossed.
I'm just excited because more people I know now live alone and can be like a certain level of weirdness when you're not around another person. And so I'm looking forward to the ramifications of that. I don't know what it's going to be, but I am about to move into a place that is just me just, and I'm like, oh man, I'm going to get so fucking weird. Oh,
yep.
Weirder than you guys have ever dealt with before.
But are you staying in Brooklyn?
Yes. Oh, okay, I looked at the prices in Manhattan and they're low, but it's low for like, hey, here's something that's the size of your bedroom now, but now it has a kitchen in it. Good luck.
I don't want to give away too much about where you live, Kenise, but it's a good location too. Like, yes. it's near museums, it's near gardens, if you will.
Oh,
so
great.
Yeah, you got it, right?
Know what we're talking about.
I used to live over there.
Prospect Park. And
here's a listener challenge. Listener challenge. If you think you know where Kenise lives, email us. Email us where you think she lives and we'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Give us cross streets for what
you're
thinking.
Cross streets, exactly. That's official, Kenise. It's like you're
I'm signing tomorrow. So okay. I mean,
how
it could fall apart and I
that
could
rocks.
But it'll be the first time I'm living by myself, which I feel very old to say that, but I don't care. I'm still happy about it. So
it's New York. There's no too old.
Dude, agreed. 100% there's no too old, but also like living on your own in New York is the dream. That is a dream of like the thing you can hope for the most is living on your own. You
know? And thanks to pandemic pricing, I'm able to do it.
The deals are outrageous.
Yeah. They're like 5 months free for some places.
I recently moved and I signed a 2-year lease and got 6 months free. And I was that's why. And like
in Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn.
Wow. Yes.
I live near a large place where they play basketball.
Yeah, yeah. We live close to each other.
Yeah, we all live fairly close.
Yeah. The same venues that we like. Yeah. Triangulated between, I think, where we all live.
Dude, that's great. And that's wonderful.
I like upgrade. I've been living alone for a while. I've been very lucky and employed for a long time at this point. But like I went from having like a nice, I loved my old apartment. It was like a cute little walk up. Mm-hmm. It was a nice little one bedroom, but now I have like a dishwasher and a washer dryer.
Oh,
incredible. And a terrace.
Fuck yeah. Time to upgrade.
My friend and his girlfriend are moving to New York and they, you know what? Zach's moving to New York. Zach's been on the podcast before. Shout out to Zach. And he's having me look. I volunteered. I was like, oh, I'll go like look at these places for you, you know, if you need like whatever. He's moving here from Boston. Yeah. And so like, I remember he told me about this first place and he was like, yeah, the kitchen's pretty big. It has a dishwasher. And I was like, stop right there.
Yeah.
That is like a huge luxury.
Especially in the pandemic. Like having the washing machine in my apartment has been like a huge upgrade because I'm like, wow, this is like living. But like in this life, it's the dishwasher that's been actually the lifestyle change. Because like I just used to spend, I had this tiny little, like my apartment, my kitchen was like the size of the desk I'm sitting at. Like there was no space. It was it was just like sink, fridge. And you were like, cool, where does anything go? So like dishes were like an ongoing, just like kind of engineering nightmare. I was like, where do I put what goes where? And now I'm just like, oh, I'm done with that. I'll just put that in the dishwasher. And
that's great. That's so nice.
This is tying it to like the romance relationship dating thing. But like so much in dating, I've been like, oh, dream guy. It'd be nice to have like if he did this or had this or like was like this or whatever. And now that I'm like, I'm about to live by myself. I'm like, wait. I'm going to become my dream guy. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about, are my roommates there? Like, can I bring this person home? And then you're just like, oh, what do they think about me when this guy, like, I don't even know what I think about them. And now my roommates are judging me. And I have this like,
that's happened.
Judgment.
Okay. A friend of ours, a comedian, was my roommate. He has also moved out on his own because prices are so low.
Yeah.
And he, on several occasions, would meet these dudes and they'd start talking. And I'm like, he's not here for you.
Yeah.
Stop talking to him. He's moving.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't be friendly.
You don't know if he's going to be around for very much longer. Okay.
This is just... Don't get attached.
Exactly.
Yeah. Either of you.
Yes. Don't like bond over move. Shut up.
No,
keep walking.
Up.
Yeah. Just say what's up and give him the nod. Be like, oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you know, you just walk back in your place.
Be polite. That's it. End of story.
Oh, wow.
I do think that living alone does, but like, I do feel like my own partner sometimes in the way where I'm like, I like do things for the apartment and then I'm like, oh, that is nice. And I'm like, thank you. Like, is this
yeah. Like, I have to say, like,
I buy flowers and then I'm like,
my girl said that she just put flowers in her apartment, but she's like, did you know that flowers are so nice? And I was like, yeah, they're nice. It makes this place look so much better.
It just brightens everything up. Yes. I'm pro this. I already know the florist near where I'm moving.
There's a lot of good
floral places. Moving present to myself. What?
There are a lot of good floral places around me too, and I always consider it. But then I'm like, the flowers are gonna die, and I don't want to do it.
That's why
everything's gonna die.
Everything dies. I don't like investing in them. Like plants. Plants, mm-hmm. I'll spend some money, but like flowers, I'm like bodega flowers almost always, because like they live the same amount of time, or like 2 or 3 days. Like either way, you're throwing that money away.
So. Yes, true.
Like, yeah.
I worked at this place. It was a startup, or air quotes startup. It was a sales consultancy firm. They tried to make it feel like a startup, but then they would be like, hey, we need flowers, but they can only come from, what is it, like Winston Flowers? Like they can only come from this like specialty boutique place that charges like $100 for the smallest thing. And those are nice, but yeah, they're gonna die at the same rate as the bodega flowers. So no thank you.
Yeah.
I'd love to be somebody who spends a lot on flowers, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah. I think that just like sprucing up your place in general, it's like the hardest part of starting. But then as soon as you finish it, you're like, wow, I feel so good. The place looks so much nicer. Why don't I do this more often? And then the cycle repeats itself, because you gotta start again, and the starting is the hardest part.
It is hard. Starting anything is hard. I had been putting off for I guess like several years now. Like I have like two bins that like throughout my I've like moved many times and like done many, like I've been like a vagrant at part, like because I'm like I was like subletting for like 6 months and then like I moved again anyway. But I had these two bins that were basically like where I was just like throwing all of the paperwork I had received, but then also like other stuff, like finishing a job and like, you know, we had like props from a show and they were like, you could take like this home, or like an old script, or like photos. Whoa. And so like, it was just like kind of like anything that I wasn't actually using. I was like, that goes in these bins and these go in a closet and I'll deal with them eventually.
Yes. I have that too.
I've been waiting, and like finally, so like I don't know when this comes out. I'm having spine surgery on Wednesday.
Whoa.
So okay. I've been trying to like prep, even though I just moved into my apartment, like I'm still just trying to prep everything so that like everything is in its place and like everything is very accessible. And so I was like, I need to deal with these, because it's going to be a while. I need more room in this closet so I could like put more stuff in it. And so I finally emptied out these two bins and threw away like, I'd say 80% of it. It was just like tax forms from 2011. And I was like, why? A warranty for an air conditioner I don't own anymore? Like, why? Like, I get why I saved it at first, but there was like no reason to have it now. And then I organized the closet and just put like one bin back in and threw the other. Ugh. And I was like, oh, this is, it felt like I moved again.
That's great. And I am about to start that process, because I'm not moving for another, I guess it's 4 weeks. So I have like 4 weeks and I've like scheduled out. Okay. So this is when things are going in boxes. But this first week is like, what are you keeping and what are you throwing away? And so I'm like going through, and I similarly have tax forms from 2008. And I'm like, they're not going to audit this. Why? Okay.
Yeah. Even if you get audited, that's outside of the limit. Like, the range that they even would look at.
So I'm getting rid of anything from before that. I'm looking at my closet. I already have my trunk right now, because I'm using my sister's car. My trunk is filled with clothes that I'm meaning to take to Goodwill at some point, but now I just need to do it and get rid of, because I have clothing swaps, so I have so many clothes like that. I don't really like, I wore it once and I was like, oh, this is fine, but no, I'm recondoing. If it's not bringing me joy anymore, I'm getting rid of it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I love throwing things away.
Yeah, it is a nice feeling once you have like go through that initial like, okay, I can be apart from this thing. As soon as I can be apart, as soon as I realize I don't need, I can be apart from it, then it feels really, really good. Because I have one of those boxes too, Allison, with just like a ton of stuff in it. I just am like, no, I'm not looking at this. This is like going to remind me of something that I didn't do well. And then I'm just going to be like, no, I'm going to feel bad about myself.
And once you start, you can't, like, once you start that process, you have to see it through to the end. You can't be like, I'm going to come back to this in a few days. It's like every piece of paper I've ever owned is on my floor. I need to deal with this. But then I had to I'm like, I clearly didn't even know that I had this. So there's no reason to keep this.
That makes sense.
This is a question I think about. Okay. Do you worry, like when you, let's say you're dating somebody and then you were like, I'm going to bring a guy over. Do you worry about like how messy it is? Your place is?
Only because my apartment is usually pretty clean.
Okay.
I'm like a clean apartment person.
Oh, wow. Okay. Damn. That's a very, so you're like an actually clean person.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I don't need to do a lot of like panic cleaning when the prospect of somebody coming over arises, which hasn't happened in a very long time. Thanks, pandemic.
Yeah. Right.
Cool. But yeah, I have gone home with people who have not thought about that.
Yeah, right.
don't care if I see their place being a mess. I'm like, cool. So when does your mom get here to fix all?
No, it's true. I worry about that all the time. Or when I was single, I was like, okay, you think this person might come over, make your bed. Like, just make sure that it looks like a presentable place. Like if your sheet, because sometimes my sheet comes off like the one corner and it's just like, and I don't take care of it, but like,
yeah,
it looks okay. Like make sure your sheets are clean, like these like little things that I just don't normally care about, I always worry about. But then like I think about from the other perspective and I'm like, if I went to a girl's place and it was like that, I wouldn't care.
I care. I'm also gonna say
of course
it's a lady thing, but it's not, you know, I'm not gonna gender it. I think it's who I am, where I am, what I'm looking for. But I do have to do a panic clean when someone comes over, and it's not just because, like, I mean, there are clothes at the end of my bed. Those are my pajamas. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, I usually have to clear some stuff.
Yeah, but like also I'm trying to fit so much within a relatively small space at this point. So even when it is organized, it looks somewhat disorganized just because there's so much stuff packed in here. And that's another reason why I'm so happy to move into my place.
Yeah.
So excited. Yeah, because like this is not for the listeners. This is just for you guys. But I have these two giant racks of things. That's like production equipment, like clothes, books, all these things. I'm like trying to fit it into an elliptical. Like I'm trying to fit all this stuff into a bedroom. So it's not gonna look neat. So yeah, when this
right, no matter out, what you do, there's still a lot of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did in this apartment make an upgrade that I'm excited to one day date again and like actually be able to reap the rewards, is I finally have a bed that's not touching three walls.
Hell yeah.
I have like a tiny one bedroom where like my bed like turned to the side, like it was like touched three walls.
And right.
Was, like it was like fine for me to sleep in by myself because like who gives a shit? That's a perfectly fine. Right. But, like I didn't even notice. But like two people in that bed, especially like usually like a guy who is larger than me, I was like, there is not enough free space in here for me to leave my leg falling off the side if I'm on the inside.
Yeah. Right.
I'm excited to, you know, still want to sleep by myself, but have the prospect of someone sleeping with me.
No, that's the worst. Worry. The first time they come over and they're like, I'm going to stay the night. And you're just like,
that'll be the whole thing.
I'm happy you're here.
I want a two bedroom.
Right. I'm an independent sleeper. I'm a bed hog. And I'm just like, oh, you're going to find out all my worst qualities. Like,
sleeping is not something I've ever gotten used to doing with someone.
No, there's some people who cuddle you. They'll like cuddle you and then expect to fall asleep. And it's like, no. I'm not going to fall asleep if we cuddle.
I can fall asleep while cuddling. No. I can fall asleep, but in the middle of the night, I will shimmy my body away from you because I know that I toss and I turn and I get up a bunch in the middle of the night. I also like, sometimes I want to be covered and sometimes I don't want to be covered.
Yeah.
And I can't have you depending on me to stay in one place. That's too much. So
no, I also like sleep hot. So I just like, don't want people on me. Like, I need your skin to be as far away from my skin as it can be.
That's how I feel too.
And like halfway through the night, I'm going to like kick off all but like a weird corner of the covers covering my like left knee.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can't touch it.
Yeah.
Don't touch the covers.
Very much relate to that. The when you wake up and your left knee is off underneath the cover, and then like your arm is not really underneath either. It's like half your body's in it and half your body's out because you don't know how warm you want to be. I get it.
Yeah. I a while back, a friend and I went away to a house together for like a weekend, and there was like one room had like two like twin beds in it, and she was like, we can just sleep in here. That's, and I was like, I don't care. It's like two nights. But well, like I sleep so hot, and it was the summer, and I was like, we have to turn this air conditioning like down. I kept it at like 64 or like some morgue like temperature.
Yeah.
And she was like, how do you have people sleep in your bedroom? Like what is happening? Has anyone commented on it? And I was like, they have not commented on it, though I'm not to me at least, but I'm sure they have told their friends, like, I think she's dead. Because that's like perfect, I don't know what though. This is.
Under a blanket, 64 is great.
Yeah. Absolutely perfect. Oh, it's so nice.
It's just a little bit chilly, and then you can do a little adjustments. Oh my god, I love it.
Problem is you never want to get out of bed. That's the only problem.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It's really hard to get up and get in the shower in the morning when, like, that's the temperature that's outside of the covers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but yeah.
So good.
But I used to have, so when I was like not, I just started like these, and I started Lexapro recently, like maybe like 2 months ago. And before that, like my anxiety is all like when I woke up. So like as soon as my alarm went off, I would just like jump out of bed, and then like I would just be like really anxious, and then just like do whatever I needed to do. But now that like it's just completely gone, or it's just like not gone, but it's just like diminished to me significantly. So now it's just like so freaking hard to get out of bed. Like I'm just like, I'm not anxious anymore. I'm so warm.
It's like a cat.
Exactly. You really are like a cat. It's like, I could stay in here the whole day. Oh,
you
my
could.
God,
oh,
nice.
It's great.
Especially on a Sunday where you're just,
there's really nothing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to follow up. So we were talking about like getting rid of things and kind of like recondoing your lives. Mm-hmm. I just want to know, I know that I am adamant about that because I move often, but also because my mom is a bit of a hoarder. Do you like, where do your parents stand as far as like getting rid of stuff? Because my mom's lived in the same house for 34 years and there's stuff from 34 years ago. Like,
sure. Well, I move a lot too, or I used to. I mean, clearly I still do. I just don't want to anymore.
Yeah.
I don't want to move again for years. But my parents are not hoarders. They are like my mom is like a loves throwing away things. Like she is like a
good
like
her.
They've been in the same house for a long time too, but they like there's like some stuff in the basement. Like there's some like boxes of like old records and like stuff like that, but like the house itself, like there's not like she'll like redecorate and like throw everything away. She'll like empty. Once in college, it was like my junior year, and I was like, I drove home because I went to school in New York, and I drove home to Maryland, and I was flying out of DC to go visit my friend in Europe. This sounds awful already.
What? This sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I was like flying out of DC. I came home, and I had like, and I still had like some clothes at home. And my mom was always like harping on me. She was like, "Can you like go through this and like throw away what you don't want? Like, I know that you want to keep some stuff, but I don't know what. And like, can you just?" And I was like, so I like went on spring break to visit my friend in the UK and came back, and on the way back they had lost my luggage for several days, and I like got back and I was like, well, at least I still have like all those clothes in my parents' house because I still had like 2 or 3 days there. And my mom was like, no, I throw all of that away. I was like, you could have waited until I got back and went back to college. Like, what? She was like, why didn't you do it? I asked you for so long. And so she just gotten rid of like everything. And then she had to take me shopping. And I was like, well, this really worked out for you, didn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, this is great. And she was like, I hate you.
Yeah.
Honestly, that sounds like a dream. My mom still has... I lived one summer in DC. I was working for the American Psychological Association, and they had just this a bookshelf of free books. So I just like would take books all the time, never read them, just have them. And then I had to move out, and so I just carried them all to my mom's house. She still has all of those psychology books, and she's like, "Denise, do you want me to do anything with them?" I was like, "Give them away. They're all old. Like the DSM-3, what are we going to do with that?" Yeah. Like, we're at 5 now. Just get rid of it. It still hates gays. Throw it in the trash, you know? But it's still in my mom's garage, just waiting for someone to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents are the same way, where they hoard everything and it'd be like, same thing, all these college books would be like, what do you want to do? I was like, I don't care. Yeah. Do whatever you want with them. Yeah. And then they just would still keep them and be like, ah, but just in case, like you might want this or that. No. But then they moved and they got rid of a lot of it.
Hell yeah.
But that was only because they moved and they were moving to a smaller place that couldn't house all of these right. things that they collected in their house for 34 years or however long it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, and so that's, I do the same thing where I'm just like, but what if I need this newspaper from 1996? You know, like right. oh, this had a cool article. Or like, I don't know, like even something like I think I had something saved from like the day after Donald Trump got elected. I was like, why do I want this? Like,
throw it away.
That was not like, even a good memory.
It's not yeah. a good memory. Yeah. I was just like, oh, this will be like, I was like, this is like going to capture New York on that day because it's like such, it was so sad. And I was just like, but why do I want this? I was like, no. And no. I had to like threw it away after, like I threw it away like recently. And I was like, oh yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, not in the least.
I think as New Yorkers though, we're less likely to be hoard. I mean, like I know some people still are, that doesn't like location doesn't stop you, but like we just have a lot less space.
Yeah.
To bar like, for hoarding goes lower.
To like accumulate. Like mm-hmm. what I have feels like a lot to me now because I was like living out of like truly two suitcases like for so long. I was yeah. just like, oh, I'm a mess, this is all I have, and I was like crossing the country a million times a year, and then like slowly I have like I own like a knife. I was like, this is my knife.
Yes. This is my plate.
Now I have like, you know, a ton of kitchen stuff, and I have like my apartment is filled with the things I need.
Hell yeah.
And so like it feels like a lot to me, but I know that like anyone who lives like in the suburbs would come to my place and be like, why don't you own anything?
Yeah, 100%. Or I go to people's like my friends who live in the suburbs and I'm just like, you guys have so much, you own everything. You have yeah. everything that you could possibly need. And then I'm like, why don't I have any of this stuff? And I'm like, oh, right. I can't.
Where to put it?
Where would you?
Literally.
The number of kitchen gadgets that you can have. Like I go visit my sister and I'm like, wait, okay. So you have a blender. You have a Nutribullet, you have an immersion blender, you have a juicer, mm-hmm. and you have like another, that's five separate things. I right. literally, at this point, I don't own any of those things. My sister is giving me her blender because she's like, yeah, we just don't use it now that we have the immersion one. And so I'm like, yes, I will be able to chop things. And this is it. This is the only device I will have for this.
I have one and I make smoothies and I also make sauces in it. And it like always kind of tastes like both. Like,
yes.
It's like peanut sauce and also just like a tropical smoothie. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think oh, that's yeah. it.
My yeah. girlfriend tried to make a chocolate mousse like a few weeks ago. And it just like was more liquidy than it was moussey. And it was so much better. I was like, yeah, I was like, you messed it up, but yeah. you messed it up technically. Milkshake. But yeah. yes, I was like, hell yes. I was like, keep messing this up. If you're going to make this again, just mess it up this
yeah.
day.
Whatever you did this time, do it again.
Yeah, just keep doing it. Because it was so good. Yeah.
I love it. So do you cook?
I do. I cook a lot. And especially like I was like a good cook before I started doing comedy. Uh-huh. Back when I like was home at night.
Yes.
and not like once a week when I would just like faceplant into my couch and order sushi.
Yeah.
But like so I used to cook a lot and then like I stopped for 10 years.
Yeah.
But like I've started again just like really cooking a ton, and it's been really, and now I have like a full size proper kitchen to do that in. So
hell
like,
yeah.
But like now it's been like even more enjoyable to do it. But like I make a lot. Yeah. I do a lot of stuff. Make a lot of soup.
Ooh, yes. Soup's great.
I like soup.
Especially in the winter. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Or just like, it's like this all is in one pot and it's, you know, stuff. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's because so I feel like a lot of people in Europe, Allison, where there's like, I started cooking again because like I'm at home all the time and it's yeah. like expensive. But then it's just like, if it's like bittersweet, it's like it would be nice to cook for someone, but I can't because they can't come over or else yeah. we'll both die.
I know. it's so hard. I like entertaining. That was like something I used to like to do, and I would yeah. like to get to do it again. And I'm like, oh my god, I have all this time, and now I like the apartment I moved into is like perfect for like having people over. Like it's a big kitchen island, and it's all open.
Oh, that's perfect. Hang. That's what
and
you
I'm
want.
Like, god, it'd be so nice to be able to like have people over and yeah. like make food. And like sometimes like there will be things I make like chicken shawarma, and then I'll like make you know, like a big green salad, and I'll make and like sauces, and then I'm just like, this is all, this is so, it's just for me. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
So many dirty dishes and so much food.
Yes,
and I'm, like, I'm very bad at eating my leftovers. Like, mm-hmm. I put them in the fridge. The next day, I'm like, well, not today, but tomorrow. And then yeah. 5 days goes by, and they're gross, and I have to throw them away. And
I'm the same way, because especially the next day, because you just ate that food and you're like, it's not going to be nearly as good as it was yesterday. I better not. I'll wait. Yeah.
I'm sick of it already.
Exactly.
So dumb. So dumb. Also, it's not cheaper for me at this point, because like I'm like, well, I don't go out to eat anymore, so it's okay if I spend more money on groceries and wine. And then all of a sudden I'm spending like hundreds of dollars for one person at like a grocery store. And like my wine consumption, like, no, I wouldn't say that I'm drinking like more, but like what I keep at home is like, like it's not the $9.99 bottles anymore. It's like,
yes.
Oh, like I'm like a $25-$30 bottle of wine. Like, I mean, at a restaurant, this would be $60.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I'm treating
does
myself
not mean
to a nice restaurant meal.
I should be spending it. So stupid.
No, I think it's good. Treat yourself to nice
Why
wine.
Why not? What else are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What else are we doing?
Honestly, I think keep the economy afloat.
Like,
buy things.
Yeah, can afford to buy things. Buy things.
Yeah,
exactly. Buy things and keep them in your apartment, and hold on to them for a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean, like, and then like, never throw them away.
Wine is an experiential thing. Like, that to me is like, if I'm budgeting out, wine and food are experiential things versus like, oh, I'm buying another knickknack or thing to go in my house. Like, I feel like, I think people should not be spending so much on knickknacks and should be spending more on these experiential things.
I agree. Yeah. You don't need a lot of stuff.
Yeah. But you need experiences, because every day you have to be alive and should
and
fill that with something.
Firstly.
Yeah.
This the food thing for me has been very nice, because I was still getting it. Like, I don't cook in my apartment, and I'm like bad at it. And like, if my kitchen's too small, and like my roommate has like a lot of her stuff there, and she cooks. I'm like, just you have the kitchen. That's like yours. And so like, I don't mind getting delivery every day. But my girlfriend is like, she has her own place and she can cook. And so it's so nice, because she's introduced me to like, okay, you can cook this way, you can make this way, you can do this way, you can like have wine, the wine goes with this. I'm like, oh, I didn't know any of this shit. Like, I'm such a dumb idiot. I've been like Allison, like you said, you're just out every night, you eat like whatever, it's just all function.
Whatever's
around, exactly. We have one go-to place you order from because they're open at 11:30 at night, you know, like that's it.
The amount of times I bought dinner, in quotes, at like a CVS because they had like Swiss cheese and like hummus and pretzels, and I'm like, that's, and carrots, you know, the ones that have like a small refrigerated section. You're like, this is a grocery store now, like, like, this is not what you should be eating. Like,
no, totally,
it could be worse, but no.
Yeah.
You just get home like whatever, you're to get home at like midnight, and you just are like, oh, this popcorn and carrots.
That's
and hummus.
A meal.
Yeah. It's so it's just like whatever's here, and like, oh God.
And like,
miss it. I look forward to hopefully understand, like everyone understanding a balance to it moving forward.
Yes.
Myself, I am now, and I was like starting to kind of find a bit more of a balance in the last year, probably before, like pre-pandemic. Of just like, hey, like, you don't need to do every show right now. If you're working, like, you do the ones that are like, not like, I would like do shows where I'm like, you know, heading like way out. Like, I made a rule, no more Queens for a while, like, at least while I was working. I was like, no more Queens, because it's like, I would work all day and then like head to Queens, and then I would always end up being like, I'm so tired, why am I working if I can't spend the money? I'm gonna take a car home. And then I'm like, why am I spending $50 on Uber home from Queens to Brooklyn so that I could bomb in front of 8 people? Like, where is that? What's that economy? I did kind of make like some light rules to myself. So I had a couple more nights at home a week, and it was pretty nice.
Hell yeah. I think those rules are important. This is when I wasn't destitute, but I wasn't making a lot of money. I had quit my job, and I was like, I'm having a summer to myself, but I struggled to get out to QED on like a weeknight. And it was like, I just spent what I would spend on groceries, like for half of this week on a ride that I didn't, you know what? I'm sorry. This is never going to be worth it to me. This is never going to be worth it
to me. No. And you, and we've been conditioned to think that like, if you're not doing everything, then you're not at working hard at all. And it's like, no, wait, that's wrong.
100%.
And like, I do like, I mean, we're talking about dating and I'm like, I do need to like make time for that in my life. And there isn't time for that. And like you end up dating stand-ups for a while and you're like, well, this was also the wrong answer.
Yes.
you're like, why did I think this was an okay option?
No.
But it's like, oh, like in order to do that, like you need to like, I can't be like, okay, so will you meet me at like 9:45 at this bar? I've never been there, but it's near this show I'm doing. And then I gotta go by like 11:30 because I have a midnight spot. And it's like, huh? That's not dating.
Not at all.
So I do want to try and actually do that moving forward.
So it's interesting. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just wanted to clarify. So Allison, right now you are single.
Yes. Very. And like, I haven't done any, like I know some people have like dated during the pandemic and like, I'm like, I don't understand how you did that. And I'm like, so jealous, but like, I am not. And now that I'm having surgery, I'm like, just like, it's off the table for like a couple months. So I was like, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I have not, I am single and I have not been doing any dating since any, I had a very amazing first date and then a second date scheduled for the day the city shut down. And that was...
That sucks.
And we just did it. Like, we were set up by a mutual friend. And he and I just, like, didn't really know each other enough to sustain... Because, like, in the beginning of the pandemic, it was, like, there is no scene. Like, now we kind of understand, like, oh, like, you could do something outside. You could go for a walk.
Yeah.
Because we, like, didn't live, like, super close. Where I am in Brooklyn. So it was like, oh, it's not even like you could walk to each other. Like, it's a non-starter. And it was just like, oh, you really had to know someone enough to sustain essentially a long distance non-sexual relationship for a really long time. And one date in isn't that.
No,
that makes sense because my girlfriend and I started dating during the pandemic, but we only like started talking like right after, not only started, we had known each other and gone on a couple dates in the past, so like we had like a baseline knowledge of each other, and like we were messaging on Instagram back and forth for a little while, so like we knew each other a little bit, which was enough to sustain.
Yeah,
and we don't live in the same city, so it's like it's enough to sustain like a conversation, and like we already knew that this wasn't going to be a possibility to meet for a few months, so it was like, okay, that's already
why
in our
not
heads.
Yeah,
right,
it's
why
like
not
nice to have someone to talk to.
Yes, that was very nice.
But it's also like there is a very specific amount that you have to know someone for it, because like if you know them too well, there's like if what you had in common was like, I'm gonna use the idea of a comedian just as a baseline, even though that's not what I'm talking about, but like if you only knew each other through like a thing that doesn't exist anymore, you would have nothing to talk about, even if you knew each other really well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like another comic, if you're like, well, there's no stand up and
yep.
What do you do?
Yeah.
Like, who are you actually?
Yeah, how do you...
But if you like know someone too well, it's like there's kind of no excitement to like talking to them.
Yeah.
I reconnected with a guy that I like hooked up with years and years ago and like had been like kind of like very casually friends with for a while through like some mutual friends, and like we started chatting a lot and it like didn't go anywhere or anything like that, but it was like exciting enough. Where it was like, oh, there's some getting to know you going on.
Yeah.
But there's also like, I know enough that like, I'm not like, okay, what does he mean when he says he's sad? Is that like, what is that? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I'm like, I know him as a person.
Right.
Like,
oh.
Right.
That's ideal. Yeah.
That's,
nice.
That's really ideal.
I have been dating. I get tested regularly. Yeah. I go on a lot of outdoor dates. I now know exactly how long I can be outside if it's cold. I have a very clear picture of like, this has got to be over in 75 minutes or else I will lose feeling in my toes.
Yes.
So like, I know that now about myself. I have my date coats. They're ugly. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's cold. Oh. Okay. My aim here is to keep warm, which I can do under this heat lamp. I have a list of the restaurants with heat lamps.
Oh,
I will share it with
good,
you.
That's a good just like piece of information to have.
Yeah. Cause it's like, 100%. Also technically you're like supporting local business. It feels weird. Some of them you're like, you have made an inside, yeah. outside, and that doesn't count. Mm-mm, but some of them are,
I won't
like,
go in those.
It,
yeah,
feels safe, and it's like reasonable.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's doable, but it is like this weird negotiation of like, how many times we want to go outside? Okay, all right, we both are tired of being cold, and I'd like to know what you look like without a giant parka on. You know, yeah. like I'd love to see that, and we get tested, and then we go to a person's house.
Yeah, I think like that's got to be the hard. I have like a friend who's been like dating a bit, and she's like mostly just been like on outside dates. Recently, at least. In the summer, it was like a little different because that was like easy to do.
Yes.
But like mm-hmm. now, it's certainly like more challenging. And it was like, she was like, we were talking about it, it's like the hard part is like going from like, oh, it's like, it's not like getting to like go on a first date. That's kind of easy.
Yeah.
You can like, if you're not super far away, like, yeah, we'll meet at this outdoor bar and we can have a couple of drinks and get to know. But it's like, the next step is a huge step. Whereas,
yes.
whereas like in normal life, like neither of those is like actually the bit, like, like, you basically have to decide that you want to be exclusive on date two. And
yes.
That's
yeah.
how anybody functions.
No, and nor should it be how anybody no. functions. Yeah. It's like, that's not, but what I will say is that the pit, like being cold and stuff, because sometimes first dates last too long because nobody knows when to end the date. Like it
yes.
just goes on for like yeah. 2.5 hours. In the pandemic, you can't have that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm very guilty of that. I've had first dates where we don't even Me particularly too. Like each other, but the oh. date is somehow 5 hours long. And you're just like, neither of us knows how to end it. Da, 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 da. But now all the restaurants close at 10. You know, yeah. at the latest, that's when you'll be out. And based on temperature, you can be like, okay, it has been, we gave it our shot. 90 minutes, we're in, we're out. Okay, what do you need to know about me? What do I need to know about you? Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I wonder like what the like, if that'll be something that like in dating carries over when like things are open again and safer and we're back to like some kind of like version of like normal. Like, I wonder if people will be like a little bit more, you know, like not feeling nervous about stopping a date, like being like, yeah, I just want to do this and then it's over. Like, or if it'll yeah. like go the other way and like every date's going to be like 2 days long and like we'll be able to end
yeah.
things.
There's oh. going to be like a roaring 20s period for sure where it's just going to be like, oh, we're going to drink a lot and then we're just going to have sex in my apartment because we can
yeah.
do that. It's
possible. Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
You're so risque. You're coming oh, wow. into my building. What?
Yeah.
I know what your kitchen looks like. Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to go to a real bar inside.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
me too. I can't wait to just go to a crowded bar and just like have a drink and you can hear the person talking, but you have to yell a little bit. And I miss that.
Ugh. The first time, two of my friends and I, who had been kind of like a little like pod earlier in the pandemic, and just like hung out together a bunch. We like right when restaurants were kind of like opening and doing outdoor stuff. We went in Greenpoint to like this place near my friend's house. And, it was like they just had like a couple of like picnic tables all on the sidewalk really far away from each other. But like you were still within like the, you know, property or whatever.
Yeah.
Like they were so far away. But they were also like not like on top of you like like some of them are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like the first time I'd been sitting in a place where there was like other stimuli beyond like all I've been doing is watching TV. Like I'm not used to more than one voice. Like,
yeah.
like I watch TV and that's all I have to focus on. Or like my friend and our other friend, like the three of us would like go like take a long walk through like empty parts of Red Hook. And it's like, yeah, there's nothing like distracting me from focusing. But we were sitting there and like there were like two other groups and like my friend was asking me a question and I was like, I'm sorry, I like can't hear you. And it's not, it's like, I can't. I'm overstimulated.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like a dog that like goes like to like a park for the first time and I was like, I don't know where to start.
And just looking around everywhere, being like, hey, like people.
Like and kept like I was like, I forgot what it was like to overhear something.
I love that. Oh, I love it so much. I love hearing a snippet of like something going on at another table and being like, ooh, what are they talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
I yes. love it. Ugh.
It's nice that I went out to a restaurant like just like an outdoor place or whatever, and or my parents came to just drop off something, so we went to this outdoor place and there was people on a first date and it was just like, oh, I remember this, you know. We like weren't even there for long, we were there for like an hour and I was like, oh, look at these people. It's like it was kind of late afternoon. I was like, they're on a first date. I was like, I miss this. I want to hear their conversation. How's this going?
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love it. I'm like very big on going out by myself, like in pre-pandemic world.
Me too.
Is like, I'm a big, like, I'll just go to a restaurant and sit at the bar and like eat and drink. And like, I like have made friends that way.
Hell yeah.
Become like a right, like connected with like people who like work at those restaurants and like feel very comfortable with saying like, oh, I feel like a regular here.
Yeah.
Which is something I just really enjoy, 'cause I like being by myself, but I like the option of socialization.
Yes. Oh, that's ideal. Like,
but like, not even though like things opened, like, there's no world where I would go somewhere by myself right now. One, because I'm just by myself in my home and I'm like, what, I'm going to just go be cold alone? Like,
yeah.
But like, yeah. Also, like, I would just feel in the summer, I kind of was like, oh, maybe one day I'll like go somewhere and sit. And I was like, I can't take up a table just for one person when I know these places are literally bleeding money to like, open. And I'm like, that's got to be like, if there was no one else there, I could sit down. But like, I was always like, oh, I can't like go somewhere popular and try and sit by myself. And like, also sitting at a table is not sitting at the bar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I feel the same way, where I love doing that. I love
fun.
Oh, there was nothing better than going like going brunch by yourself and you have like whatever, you have a book or you like listen to a podcast or something, or like you're just by yourself, you have your own time. You want to socialize with someone, you can, but not really if you don't want to. Yeah. You have a nice little meal, just like relax. And I feel the same way, Allison. I couldn't do it because I was like, oh, they're like, they just open. I want to give them my business, but I don't want to take up too much of their space. And it's like, just get delivery or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's so hard. I miss it. It's like the first thing I'm going to do. I mean, like, I want to like see people and like, I want to like do comedy and like go in my friends' houses and do all kinds. I want to go shopping. Like, there's a lot I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, sitting at the bar, like snacking and drinking alone is just high on my list of priorities for post-pandemic life.
I loved doing it as part of because in the, like, when I lived in LA and I had a car and it was like, oh, it's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I would do a thing. I'd go back home and then I'd go out and do another thing later. Yes. But in New York, it's like, I'm going to be out for the day. I'm leaving at this time. What am I going to take, an hour train back and then an hour train? No, I'm just leaving. No. And that wandering around where it would just be like, oh, I'll pop in over here. That's the thing that I think I missed the most, where it was just like aimless walking, checking out a cafe, sitting there. Even, I mean, half the time I would just be looking at my phone in a cafe. But that that thrill of maybe I'll talk to someone if I want to is the thing I think I miss the most.
I miss the movies too. I really want to fucking go to the movies.
I know. I miss them. And I miss like shopping, which sounds like so stupid, but like,
it doesn't. I'm refusing your minimizing it. Shopping is great.
Shopping is really fun. It's like something, it's like my, it's also in the past, like shopping, especially at a store like a Nordstrom Rack, where it's like, oh, you don't even know what's in here and you're just kind of like wandering around looking at everything.
Yes.
Like, was my writer's block and my anxiety reducing like activity.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
Like, whenever I was waiting to find out about a job in LA, I would like drive to the Beverly Center and just like walk around, or the Beverly Connection, which is where like the Saks Off Fifth and the Nordstrom Rack were. And I would just like, just kill 2 hours of that day where I'm just waiting. And I'm like, are they going to call? Did I get hired? What's happening?
Yeah.
Waiting for JFL. Like,
yeah.
never got new faces.
Yeah.
You didn't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, when you're wait, like, it was like, it's like the one activity that I can like, that actually turns my brain off.
Yeah.
Like, writer's block and anxiety are the two things I use it for. And like, when I have those now, I'm like, guess I'll just anxiously watch Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Which I also really enjoy, but not the same.
It's
not.
Like, pacing around, like I pace and I'm like, pacing around my apartment's not the same. Yeah. I need to go outside. I was like, what am I going to do? Go outside and pace? No, I can't do that.
I go on like long walks and I, like, my friend and I joke, we're like, okay, well, I'm going to go take my evening constitutional. Like, we're just like Victorian characters now who just like go on walks alone.
Yes.
I know, that's like, that's the thing. I like look forward to it. It's like, I can't wait to be done at work at 5 because I can go out on my walk. I can go out and like get my popcorn. I can go out and do like this like little thing. I'm like, ugh, why can't this be, why could I need to muster up this much excitement when things happen for stand up. I'd be like, okay, I get to go out and go to an open mic.
I'm gonna have to really turn that back on. It'll be exciting for like 2 weeks and then it'll just settle back into feeling normal, and that's when you're gonna have to be like, you didn't get to do this for like 18 months.
Do you remember, Kanice, when we did that show at QED like in August, like on my birthday or whatever,
and then I do,
and it was like our first like show like like in person or not
since
for you
since March. Yeah,
since March. And I was just like, and we like immediately just like resorted to our own, like we were on our phones.
We were immediately on our phones so fast. So.
Between comics are out there and you're like listening, but you're on your phone. And
it was raining cats and dogs and they still did this outside show. So you just perform like holding an umbrella and a mic to a group of people at tables holding umbrellas, just like trying to be dry. Yeah. It was an interesting time. I mean, everybody did well and it was like technically sold out because in a backyard 12 people. Yeah, exactly.
And it was raining and they all came and they were pretty excited.
They were excited, like, they were like, something, please, anything.
Yeah.
I think people are eager to do things, which I love, but I'm like, let's not just like force, let's not like rush into doing things that we don't know if they're a good idea or not.
We talked 100%. About this on the last episode with Josh, but it's just like I have all these practices, like these habits, because I get FOMO so easily. I'm like, everyone's at the bar, everyone's at this show, they're at that show, why am I not doing this? And like that's all gone, and like I'm like, okay, how do I maintain these practices where I don't feel FOMO and I'm gonna be okay? And taking a day off, like you were talking about, Allison, like to go on a date or to like do whatever, like how am I gonna incorporate that into my post-pandemic life?
You
should make a list.
I made a list. Yeah, I love
like,
a list.
I think my roommate right now, she has a 40 under 40 list, and I don't want to do something like that. What I do want to do is like a post-pandemic list. Yeah. It's like, you've learned things in this time. This is the lesson thing you learned that you need to keep in mind so that you don't become a crazy person again. You need to do these things. So I'm going to make a list, frame it, put it above my desk, and hopefully that'll keep me accountable. I don't know. We'll see.
Just keep you grounded.
Yeah. Yes. The one thing I really do miss, and I think that this like maybe dating is like the place that I miss it the most, but like I think in work and like life in general, is like there are no surprises anymore. I mean, there are like plenty of awful surprises that we wake up to every day. It's like, surprise, like there's an insurrection, surprise. People are like lighting the Capitol on fire, you're like, what? I want to go back to
Who knew people cared this much about bodegas? Sorry, I had to bring it up.
Surprise, people are dunking on you on the internet. Now, I truly thought that that was like the funniest thing ever. And everybody was like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't care. Like, some like person who I've never met who doesn't understand the concept of comedy or Twitter is like trying to tell me that I'm a dumb bitch. Like,
oh my God. Thank you so much for saying that, because like every time I see someone like the people, I'm like, these people suck. Like, you know,
I don't care what those people think. And like, also there were so many replies that I didn't even see. It's not like I had to read every one of them.
Yeah.
Like, they were coming in like groups of 100. So I was just like, just here and there, I would see like a pop of somebody being like, gas station. And it's like, cool.
Yeah.
For the listeners, Allison had a mega viral tweet. Because I feel like there's levels of virality. Like 10,000 is like the beginning of virality, and then it becomes like mega viral, which means you probably saw it at like 100, 150, 200,000 likes. And you had one that was mega viral. It not only had that many likes, but also was featured on TV.
Maybe in the newspaper.
I don't get the newspaper, so I don't know. But
I got like a Google alert that it was like in an article that somebody wrote about like Andrew Yang the other day.
Oh, yes.
I was like loving, and everybody was like, Allison Ivy, and I was like, this is my fault.
The tweet was about like just the it was a funny tweet about like grabbing stuff at a bodega, and people were acting as though you were saying these things were only possible at a bodega, and that somehow you were saying like New York was better
bodegas
than everyone else.
Better, and I'm like, no, the joke is not candy, you dumb fucks. But like, I guess like as long as you're not seeing like threats of violence or like super awful language where you're just like, oh God, like some of it is like off-putting, but for the most part, it's just like people being like, well, in New York, you guys don't have 7-Eleven. And it's like, we do. And I would never go to one.
Did people slide into your DMs? Did people use the opportunity to slide into your DMs to be like, hello?
I closed my DMs once it got nuts. I was like, I know where this goes. And I just closed them to people I don't know. A couple came in right before, and I was like, nope, shut that down. But it was somebody who was just like, you're a stupid bitch. And I was like, cool.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like,
no one used it. I mean, I don't know, because like, obviously I shut it all down. So like, who knows who was trying or who might have tried to DM me. But like, of the first few, it was just like people being angry. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't think you graduated from high school. Like, I don't care what you say. Like,
yeah, right. Exactly.
Why are you?
You had the same thing when your thing made the front page of Reddit about a
bodega. Oh, yeah. Oh, also, God. Oh, yes. Tweet about a bodega. Bodega tweets. Woohoo.
yeah. They are safety centers to me.
Like, yes, yes. You're a woman. 100%.
Women understand that like neighborhood businesses are actually part of a like a safety precaution for you.
Yeah. You go in, like maybe you know the guy, maybe you don't, but at least it's a place where you know a person is sitting so that if like someone is following you, if you just need like a break from the existential threat that the world poses to your being. It's good to just go in there and like, okay, they're not gonna probably not gonna do something to me in here. I or have a like, moment to like collect and stuff.
Oh yeah, the bodegas near me, I walk around them. Like if I'm anxious or something, I just like and I'm outside, I'm like, I just go in, I'm not getting anything. I'm just gonna walk around for half a second and be like, oh, okay, I know this place. It's okay. Like, yeah. They're not gonna
bodega, obviously. Oh, but like, yeah, so like there are surprises in our lives right now, but they're not like but they're not like actually impacting our life. I mean, like large national news does.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
There's no like surprise meeting people or running into people, like, which is actually how most of my dating life like was before the pandemic. Like I have never been someone who's like been very comfortable on the apps, and like I'm very jealous of people who are, but I just am not. But I also like did meet a lot of people just like out in the world because I'm somebody who goes out a lot on my own. And like what we do, I think you're just around a lot of people all the time, so like always the like, I'm going to do a show tonight. And like, who knows if like there's someone cool hanging out at the bar afterwards. Like I talk to them, or like, oh, I'm like walking from like, you know, a show to like, you know, go meet some friends, and I like run into someone I know who's like, come with me. And like that, like,
yeah, that stuff, I miss that too.
Doesn't everything that you do, like even when I see my friends who live in my neighborhood, like it's just like, so do you want to go for a walk at 5 p.m.?
Yes.
Yes, I would like to go for a walk at 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Like everything is so calculated.
I know. I miss running into people, or like you're with someone and then you run into people. Like, I don't know, I live in Park Slope, and then we had that show at Cherry Tree, which is now closed. But then people, like, I would see people in the street, and then they were like, hey, you're the guy from the show. Or be like, oh, yes, I am. And you just like chat for a little bit. And they're like, well, you know, like they'd ask questions about comedy in general. Like, what are good places? And it was just like nice for that to happen. It was nice for like, you run into other comedians like at places you wouldn't normally expect to see them. And you're like, wow, hey, awesome.
Or, even just like showing up to a show that like, you know, the lineup, but like someone came with someone else. Like there were lots of times where like I'd be with like Robert, Robert Dean and I are like very good friends. And like, I would have a show and he's like, I don't have anything going on tonight. I'm like, I'm doing this thing. And he's like, I'll come to that. And so then like, we're hanging out and then like, someone's like, whoa, Robert, you're here. And then the three of us hang at like, that's like,
That happened to us all the time.
What are you doing? Go to this
Exit work. What shows are you on tonight? And she'd tell me, I'd be like, all right, I'll come hang out.
I miss that. I feel like there's many ways to feel like lucky doing comedy, but like one of them is just like that built in social. Not that you have to be friends with anybody or with everybody, which you shouldn't.
No.
Just being comedians does not make us friends.
Yeah.
But like, you do have a lot of people you like hanging out with that are like lowercase f friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, you can have lots of different like social interactions at all, like kind of whenever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
Like, every night of the week, someone you're friends with is out and you can go see them.
Yeah.
And people understand, like they understand that we're all like anxious, you know, kind of socially awkward people. So like, if it's not going well, be like, I'm going home. Everyone be like, sure, all right, cool. See ya, bye. Yeah. Like we get it. Like everyone gets it, and it doesn't feel weird. You're not like overthinking everything you do. And it's so nice.
Oh, I miss that.
Me too.
I want that. That's the thing. The maybe that hangs over. Yeah. Oh, now I know exactly. I'm gonna go to the store. I'm gonna come back. That's the end.
And I'm gonna sit on my couch. I'm gonna text my friends. We're all gonna be sad.
There was some show every time I went to Friends and Lovers, I was always like, am I gonna stay afterwards? Am I gonna go home? Like, what's gonna happen next? And it'll be like, it was kind of fun. Yeah.
Every time I just like miss that so much. Like I miss like just kind of not knowing what was going to happen and like looking at your calendar and being like, this is going to suck. I don't want to do this show. And then getting there and it being super fun and there being a ton of people you like hanging out with. And then like everybody stays and drinks and like, that was always the best. That was always more fun than like the big show. You were like, oh, everyone will be there. It's going to be a hang. And then you're like, I actually don't like any of these people.
Or like the big show where you're
51st jokes.
Yeah. You're nervous about how it's going
to
go.
This year not having it, I was like, yes. I don't have to like turn it on and pretend that like.
Oh yeah. You have to be so on because it's 50 comedians and you just have to be like, hey, I haven't seen you since the last one of these. Hi.
Always my least, always like in theory should be so fun. And then I would be like, oh, I actually hate this.
It just stresses me out. I like when, like, after that, when, like, four people from that would go to a place. That's what I
You're like, oh, let's, like, 10 of us go to Halyards and, like, sit in the back and just, like, fuck around. Like,
that was always great.
Just take the pressure off of just let me be a real person. Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Chill out. I don't want to be on. I'm at work. That sucks. Yeah. I think we always forget, like, when we're at shows, like, technically we're at work. Like,
yeah.
That blows.
Yes.
That part of it is not fun.
It can be, especially.
You're like, these are my coworkers.
Yeah.
That's dude, especially when you have a bad set. Ugh, that's the worst.
Would you bring dates to shows?
No.
Yeah.
Never.
I did in Boston.
But I've definitely dated people who are like in and around the industry enough that like they could show up and it would be like, God damn it. Or had like seen me before or something like that. I was always like, why am I doing this?
Oh,
I need like an investment banker or something.
You don't need to meet my friend / coworkers yet. Don't do it.
They're fucking weirdos. And then you'll know, who I really am. That's not a reality I'm willing to face yet.
Not yet. No. Let's take our time getting there. So we did not get to the news story, but we are coming up on the hour.
Yes.
And how we end every show is with final thoughts. So things that you've thought about, things that you just want to reiterate to listeners, things you just want people to know about you. It doesn't even have to be related. I mean, it's better if it's related to what we talked about, but it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
I'm a clean person who makes her bed. That's the thing that you should know about me.
Yeah.
That we shouldn't minimize the things that we miss. That's important. I think that's something that we could all, like you said that, and I think that that's a good lesson for us all to take as this pandemic like rages on. Like, don't feel bad for missing stupid. I miss the subway. That's terrible.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
But I do. Until the first time I have to ride it, and then I'll be like, I don't miss this at all. This is actually my nightmare. I want a car. That like surprise when we get back to like doing things again, like there's going to be like great, like there's so much we don't even remember that we miss yet. Like, I'm excited. This is all just like pandemic related. I have like no dating advice. I've been like alone for like almost a year now. So
no, we like, it's so weird. Cause it's just like, the podcast now is just like us talking about like pandemic stuff.
There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah. And the times we talk about like dating, it's like, did you know that people are inviting other people over their houses for a first date? And we're like, why would anyone ever do that?
That's happening. Yeah, it is 100%. It's like, I don't trust you. I don't know you.
Mm-hmm. I don't even trust most of my friends.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, I don't know where you've been.
It's like, it's just dating is like either a huge inconvenience, but it's hard. And then also it's like extremely hard to do it safely. And form like a real connection. So yeah, of course, dating is whatever.
Not necessary.
Yeah.
Ron, what are your final thoughts?
One of my final thoughts are that there are a lot of bad things about the pandemic and we talked about them, but all the good things about like the way that you have, you've slowed down your life and you've like, been able to appreciate things. Like when this shit starts up again, don't just jump into your old life. Don't like take a step back and be like, what do I really value? And then pursue things and try not to feel guilty when you don't do that third show at the night, go home.
Yeah.
Don't feel guilty.
It's okay not going to Queens.
Yeah, it's okay not to go to Queens.
We can agree we're not going to Queens anymore.
Anti-Queens podcast. Yeah.
Anti-Queens.
Fuck Queens.
My final thoughts are, I think I'm going to look into ways to, I don't care if it's childish. I describe that feeling, that what if, that like maybe, that anything could happen. Not anything, but like, there will be unexpected, you never knows. How to build that into my pandemic existence. So I'm going to do some research on it. In the same way that I looked up that list of restaurants that have outdoor heated seating, I'm going to look up ways people add that back in. I got to run into you.
We did have a run-in.
The restaurant underneath me was doing some sort of, you order, you come, you pick it up, and you were down there, and there were tons of people down there. And so it's like, how do I build in the possibility of wonder? it's okay, it's cheesy and I'm admitting this, I don't care. Okay, there's two songs that I listen to that like put me in that mood, to kind of like prime me to see opportunities for that. Mm-hmm. One is Imagination from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
I love it so much. And then the other is, it's from West Side Story, but it's just like the whole aim of the song is something could be coming at any moment. And I feel like there's something coming that's good. And
yeah,
I mean, the guy who's singing it does die later that night, but it's like, okay.
This is the most wholesome you've ever talked about music on the podcast.
Can really?
You, it's just like, this is my fuck playlist. This is Boner Jams 2020, yeah. You know, like that kind of stuff.
I love Boner Jams.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the name of, it's Boner Jams 2018. 2018. I haven't made a new one since then, but
look,
yes.
Don't, look, if it ain't broke.
Yeah. And now I didn't even know you liked musicals.
I do. Know. I like those songs where it's like something, I don't know enough about music, but it's like a key change or like a sudden tempo switch that just like, it creates that feeling in me. Like, you're right. Who's going to be outside? I don't know. Something's coming down the street. It's coming for me and I don't know what it's going to be and it could be great. So
I love it.
Yeah. That rules.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been Love About Town. Allison, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Allison Leiby. And also you can listen to my podcast, Ruined, at Ruined Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And we talk about horror movies.
Hell yeah.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah.
I just watched all seven Saw movies.
Oh shit.
Why?
Why?
Because I have a friend who's obsessed with them and then we watched them all. And yeah. And I now know, like, and now it's like this like current pop culture feature that just exists in my head. So anytime I'm watching a movie, I'm always like, I wonder what Jigsaw would do in this situation.
Oh my god, you need a bracelet. WWJD.
Dude, I was watching John Wick yesterday and I was just like, the third John Wick, and I was like, oh, this place would be interesting. This alley would be interesting for a Jigsaw trap.
Oh my gosh.
It's strange and terrifying.
It's insane.
Brain is ruined, Rohan.
Oh yeah. Well,
ruined.
The reason that we watched them is because the new one is coming out and Chris Rock has produced it. Oh.
What?
Yeah, Chris Rock is, I think he might have also made the story and I think he might have directed and he's in it. And it's called Saw, like the spiral of the Book of Saw. And Chris Rock is like the executive producer. Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch them all. And then.
All right.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay.
Anyway, sorry. I'm like, I only recently got into horror. So I was like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. I'm like, what? I know what I'm doing. Anyway. Sorry. That's like a weird.
No,
turn.
I love that. I love the idea that like you've become so established in the thing that you're known for that you get to just like do whatever you want in other things too. So it's like, he's like one of the world's most famous comedians. And then he was like, you know what? I want to be in Fargo. Yeah. Just put me in fucking Fargo.
I haven't watched that season yet.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Neither have I. And that's like when I'm on my list of things to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Oh, but man. Then I keep just like rewatching Seinfeld.
Yeah. So yeah.
Branch out and watch things.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah, I have to. Yeah, because I can't watch Pretend It's a City because it makes me sad about New York.
I know.
I'm like one episode and then I have to like take like 2 hours of a break. Aww. And then I'm like, okay, I'm on episode 3 now. And I'm like, all right. You're going to get through because I like
it's
the
also
show,
hard because like, she's doing public speaking events and they look like stand up shows and you're just like white knuckling through it.
Yeah. And she's like a, you know, I don't always agree with everything she says, but I do like hearing her talk. So I'm
me
like,
too.
All right. I'm like, okay, Fran, tell us. And she always has like every like 10 minutes, she has like a mind blowing idea. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like I the know. Day cops and the night cops. I was like, that's so funny. Or like whatever.
She's anyway, so funny.
He's so
right,
funny.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Rohan, where can people find you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm just going off now. I am Rohan Cool Guy on Twitter and then Rohan Padye Cool Guy on Instagram. And this podcast, which I love, and you should rate and review and like it and leave us a review and say nice things about us. And that's the only thing you can say, nice things. Don't say anything mean about us, please. But yeah, that's it.
All right. And you can find me on the internet at Kenise Mobley on That's Kenise Mobley and Twitter and Instagram and Venmo. I'm always going to say Venmo. I'll always take your money. Thank you so much. This has been Love About Town. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye. Thanks so much for listening.